this book is really to explain why I think that China will not dominate the world. In a sense, it's a response to a number of books which have appeared in recent years about why China will rule the world and why the 21st century belongs to China. I don't think that's the case, and this book really explains that argument.
There are many factors in the case against it, and you lay out several of them, starting off with the political trap.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I think we have here the last major state on earth run by a communist party. You may say that the system which runs China is quite largely influenced by capitalism and the market, but it is still a communist party, which is the sole political party running China. And I think that is leading it into increasing contradictions, as Mao Zedong would have put it, which actually inhibit its ability to develop and to reach a position of dominance if it wished to. I mean, I'm not convinced that China actually wants to dominate the world.
The government has shown some flexibility in its economic outlook and trying a few different things like the recent economic zone in Shanghai. But do you feel that these things have any chance of pushing China into a more dominant role? Or why will the government, even though it seems to be flexible, will hold it back?
China was coming from a long way back. It threw a lot of cheap labor, cheap capital, and strong export markets at this process of growth. And that produced this enormous upsurge in China from the 1980s through to the present day. I don't think China is going to collapse. I think it's still going to be there as one of the major influences globally. But the path ahead is looking a good deal more difficult for China.
There are some extraordinary pressures that China would be facing in the coming 50 to 100 years, especially with an aging population and some potentially serious health issues weighing on the state with the amount of pollution that they have and other factors.
Absolutely, because growth has gone ahead without much effective concern for other issues, which you just mentioned. Fertility has been falling off in China. We've had the one-child policy. We have the sheer cost of having a child because of the lack of health care provision in China and the gender imbalance. You've also got the environmental issue. There was a survey done last year by a number of international universities which reckoned that if you've been born this century in China, your life expectancy in northern cities, which is where the pollution is, the worst pollution is, will be cut by 5.5 years. On top of this is the question of what I call the trust deficit, that people don't believe in the cleanliness of the air, the cleanliness of water, in food safety, the lack of the rule by law. All these create difficult social issues and social tensions which the administration is going to have to deal with.
The timing of this is very difficult for the government as, you know, they try to rebalance from a heavy export economy into a more consumer-oriented economy, and yet the social aspects of it don't comply with that nice and neatly.
No, I mean, it's, you know, China has, as I say, it has achieved this tremendous fast growth on a huge scale, particularly the younger generation in China, particularly the middle-class urban generation. They have never been used to hard times. They've always been used to rising incomes, rising material standards, and a better life, which they've got in many ways, including foreign travel, you know, 80 million or more foreign visits every year from China. And if you go to China in the cities, you know, they are pretty advanced in many ways. But to keep that up and to keep the quality of life satisfactory is going to be a really big challenge. And at the same time, you've got probably about 600, 700 million people living in the rural areas who are still often, if not living in poverty, living in pretty poor conditions. So the challenges are enormous, which probably makes running China the biggest management job in the world. The danger in this is that if things did turn wrong in China, that you would have a rise in Chinese nationalism, which is already quite strong, and that would come into conflict with Japan, and through Japan with the United States.
Would you say that the internal pressures on China are greater than the external ones in the argument that it will not be dominating in the 21st century?
Yes, I think the first concern of the Chinese leadership with the new Communist Party leader, Xi Jinping, is domestic. Last November, there was a big meeting of the leadership which laid out an ambitious plan, 60 points of changes to be made over the next 6 to 7 years and so on. And those are all domestic issues. So this is really where the crux of the matter is. And international affairs, foreign affairs, don't matter that much for China so long as China doesn't feel threatened by external powers, so long as it doesn't feel that other powers are going to intervene in its internal affairs or that its access to iron ore, to oil and to other resources which it needs are going to be under threat. And my argument in my book is that those domestic problems are so challenging. I don't say necessarily they'll turn out badly, but they are so challenging for China that its prime focus is internal rather than external.